Good morning. It was an enthusiastic intro. I have to like live up to the most important roles of my life, so it's going to be a fun day. So I'm going to do something a little bit dangerous for a day two morning keynote. Fortunately, the room is not too dark, otherwise this would make this extremely dangerous. But I'm going to ask all of you to close your eyes for just a couple of minutes and travel back in time with me, about 1,000 years or so, to ancient Greece. And I want you to imagine that you're walking along a dirt road. You're carrying a heavy pack. You've probably been walking for days. The sun is beating down on you. You're hot. You're sweaty. You're tired. Your feet hurt from the miles. Your back hurts from wearing that heavy pack. And just as you're about to run out of food, off in the distance, you see the outline of a city. Now, as you open your eyes, I want you to imagine that you're going to walk up to some random door in that city, knock on it, and get invited in by the host. And the reason that you know this is going to happen is because you live in an area where they practice the concept of xenia, or hospitality, which basically means that there's a set of rules where you'll be welcomed into a house. And here's the rules that apply. If you're the host, you're supposed to respect the guest. You have to provide food, drinks, a bath, and gifts to anybody that shows up to your door. And the best part is, you don't get to ask any questions about who they are, where they're going, or where they're from until after you've already done all of these things. Now, if you're the guest, you're not free and clear. You have to respect your host. You're expected to be courteous and not a burden. And if you have gifts, you should provide them to the host in exchange for their hospitality. So this ability to walk up to any door and be invited in happened for a couple of reasons. First, the world was pretty small. So for the most part, you're not traveling so far that you're not going to find a place where people don't share the same language and don't share the custom of xenia. And you have this ability to look each other in the eye, shake each other's hand, and make a human connection so that you can know that this person is going to take care of you in their home and they can be assured that you'll behave properly while you're there. And the thing is, even as our ability to travel grew, we still had this ability to look each other in the eye and make a human connection. But then something interesting happened. Technology came along and took away that ability to look each other in the eye. We started talking with just our voices. We started working in factories with clanking machines and siloed work product where everything was piecemeal. And even when we went home, we could click a button, pull into our garage, and never have to see our neighbors again. I don't know about you, but that one I think maybe we want to keep in some cases, right? Airplanes came along and gave us the ability to travel to lands that we'd previously only read about. And instead of choosing to interact on a human level, most of us chose to only view the world through a lens that we were comfortable with. We're hiding behind our hop-on, hop-off buses and our hotel balconies. And the internet came along and expanded the entire world, but allowed us to connect with every niche group that we wanted to be a part of. And not only did those groups magnify our interests, they also magnified our fears. And so instead of connecting us, it gave us the opportunity to only trust the people that we could shake hands with. And it turns out that's a very small group relative to the people we're exposed to. So we've swung all the way from this concept of xenia to an echo chamber. And now technology is trying to bring us back to the middle to not only trust each other, but also to trust brands and companies and institutions. We've got sites like Yelp and Amazon that let us review products and services and places. Ride-sharing apps that give us a profile picture and real-time tracking and a review at the end. And I have to laugh because we've now come full circle. I can literally book a bed in a random stranger's home. Now, when my mom first heard about Airbnb, she was very concerned about my husband and I, and she said, "Ashley, what if the host robs you or murders you?" And I looked at her and I said, "Mom, what if we rob or murder them?" And the sad part is, when I went to log into my account, the site didn't recognize my IP address, and so it wanted to send me a code to my phone to put it in. So at this point, it's not even a human vetting me to stay in their home, it's a computer vetting me to log in. of these things, the location tracking, the profile pictures, the review sites, the two-factor authentication, is this actually a sign of trust or of distrust? Are we actually getting closer to connecting with each other? And as the people on the front lines of brand stewardship and trying to make these connections, how do we do that? We need to put the humanity back into our interactions. But that's hard to do. And spoiler alert, it's because you actually have to be human. You can't just slap a stock shot of a diverse group of business people on your website. You can't just use more emojis when you talk. You have to actually connect to people. And it turns out that social media is a great way to do that. Now, most social media managers are looking for more likes, more comments, more reach, more engagement. But what happens when you focus on shifting the perception of a single individual? Turns out that's really powerful. Now, this is something that we did at Atlassian, and we make collaboration tools. So I've talked to a few people who are familiar with our flagship product, Jira. We also have Trello, Confluence, Bitbucket. Those are a number of our main products. And the goal of each of those products is to connect people. So when we launched our update to Jira, we decided to take a very different approach than we had in the past. We worked with our product managers to connect on social one-to-one. These people went on using their real names, identified their role, and spoke directly to consumers about their questions and concerns. And this person replied, "I really like this trend of PMs directly answering some questions. Direct accountability, direct feedback. Is this you answering on your own, or is this an official Atlassian thing?" And the answer is actually both. So we worked with our social media care team to put some parameters in place to field the most thorny questions to very specific technical experts, but we also gave them discretion to answer in their own voice. We're not copying and pasting messages. We're not giving them a corporate line. They're not pulling things from a standard FAQ. They're taking the knowledge that they have and sharing it directly with people who have questions. So we did this on Twitter. We also did this on Hacker News. Now, if you're not familiar with Hacker News, it's a platform that is anonymous that allows people to have very deep conversations about pretty much anything, in our case, mostly technology and our products. And as you can see, this person identified themselves as a product manager, which is really unusual in this community because it thrives on anonymity. And then they went line by line answering this person's concerns. And as you can see at the end, they said, "This looks like a massive improvement. It fixes most of my pain points." Now, what's interesting about this is that in a lot of cases, the people we engaged with did not have strong social media followings. They didn't have thousands of followers. They wouldn't be considered influencers. And yet a lot of them were responsible for hundreds or thousands of user licenses within their company. So not only did we shift their perception as an individual, we also shifted the perception that they were perpetuating inside their organization. I've also personally experienced this in a couple of cases. Most of you are probably familiar with Anne Hanley from Marketing Profs. She is an outstanding human being, and she's outstanding at being human on Twitter. So I've interacted with her a couple of times, and every time, she said things like, "Oh, wow, thank you, Ashley," and she's replied with shares and relevant comments in our conversation. I'm a huge fan. And one time I even tagged Atlassian in a tweet, and our social media manager excitedly chatted me. She's like, "Oh my gosh, Ashley, Anne Hanley, you know, replied to your tweet." And I was like, "Oh yeah, we interact all the time." And she was like, "Are you serious?" So she then went into our team Slack room and told everybody else that Anne Hanley had interacted with me. Katie Martell is another person that I've recently discovered. She's an influencer. She speaks to tons of people about various marketing topics. And we've interacted a few times. And in this case, she replied with the perfect GIF for the conversation we were having. And it made my day when she followed me back. And finally, Scott Birkin, author and speaker. Again, I'd interacted with him a few times on Twitter. He reached out to me on LinkedIn to thank me for sharing his content and to ask if there was any other content that I'd be interested in seeing from him. Now, what's interesting, again, about all of these people is the power differential. They have thousands of followers. They speak on massive stages. They've sold thousands of books. I'm kind of a nobody in their world. I don't have anything to offer them. Engaging with them does not help them in any way. But what it does do is turn me from a fan to a champion. And now I'm standing up here telling all of you, go look at the work of Ann Hanley, Katie Martell, and Scott Birkin. And so that ability to take a few minutes and authentically engage one-to-one, while it may not appear to have a huge reach on the internet, can have a huge reach in real life. I also love the idea of putting a face on the brand, literally. And this is one area where technology does excel, because it's given us the ability to approximate that face-to-face, I know you as a human connection. And one of the ways it does that is with live streaming. Now, live streaming is becoming a lot more mainstream for a couple of reasons. So first, it has a low barrier to entry. In the past, you had to have all of this special equipment. You had to have video cameras. You had an off-camera mic. You had special editing software, and the list goes on. Today, everyone's smartphone has a camera, a mic, and editing tools right on their phone. Distribution also used to be troublesome because you had to rip the footage from one device, then you had to do all of these special edits and software, then you had to export it, then you had to upload it. I'm getting tired just talking about how difficult it used to be to put video out into the world. Today, phones have Wi-Fi, and most conferences and locations also have Wi-Fi coverage. And finally, you get to engage with your existing audience. So most brands have already built an audience on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And just to give you a sense of why this is helpful, most of the algorithms today not only prefer video, but prefer live video. So for example, Facebook Live videos get 6 times the engagement of natively uploaded videos. Instagram Stories has over 300 million daily active users and 80% year-over-year growth. Twitter used to be, Periscope used to run that and is now basically powering the back end of Twitter. And they have millions of streamed events every single day. So it's a powerful tool. So how do you use it? First, there's the sneak peek or behind the scenes style. So for this filming style, you want to act as the narrator. This is great for photo shoots, video shoots, product sneak peeks and reveals. And in this case, you want to say who you are, where you are, what you're doing, and who you're with, and show the audience around. And you can interact with the commenters, take questions, if they want to talk with the guests that you're speaking with, let them interact. Next is live Q&A. This is great for things like interactive keynotes, sessions like this at the end where we'll have a question and answer session. And depending on the role that you're playing, will depend on how you behave as the host of the video. So if you're asking the questions, you want to behave as an MC. Just like somebody will be running around with a mic later this afternoon, you would want to be taking those questions from the live stream feed. If you're the person answering the questions, you want to behave as if you're a panel member. So give short answers and then leave time for the next question to come in. Next is watch a planned event. So this is great for keynotes and speeches, concerts and shows, generally anything where it's known in advance that it's going to happen. Here, you want it to feel like you're sitting next to the audience. So in this case, you would turn on the live stream, you'd say what it is, and then you'd shut up. Just like if you go to a movie or a speech, you don't want somebody constantly talking in your ear. So as the host of the video, you should say what it is to give context and then let people watch alongside you. Next is the daily recap and sharing insights. Again, this is great for things like trade shows, if you're coming from TED or South by Southwest. And here you want to behave as a reporter. Now, you may or may not choose to interact with the commenters in this style, but this one is going to be very similar to the one-way broadcast that you would see, for example, if you've been to a show where the Cube is on. They tend to do live updates as well. And finally, my favorite, the, oh my gosh, this is happening now. So, as Brandon mentioned earlier, I'm a huge theater nerd. I had the opportunity to see Hamilton a couple of years ago, and so, of course, I'm taking all the pictures and I'm tweeting, and I'm kind of just shocked that I got to see this show. And the key with this hosting style is it's your choice. Whatever it is was so weird or so surprising or so cool or so stupid that you just had to tell the rest of the world. So host in the way that makes the most sense. And in some cases, that's literally just to start filming. Otherwise, you'll miss it. So I worked at Duarte a few years ago, which is a presentation design and training firm. And when Nancy Duarte and Patty Sanchez released their book, Illuminate, we came up with an entire live streaming strategy. So this screenshot is from the moment when the galleys, or the first hard copy of the book, arrived. They had no idea it was coming. The receptionist texted me and said, "Ashley, the books are here." So I turned on my phone, walked out to the lobby, and as I was walking, I said, "Hey, the galleys are here. We're about to go grab Nancy and Patty." So we filmed the moment when they first saw and held their book. And then they went into our open office plan, and everyone gave them a spontaneous round of applause. We carried this through by live streaming the launch party and hosting a live Q&A, where we took questions both in person and online, and gave a creative tour of the process that went into building the book. And we also live streamed from the media tour. Now, this was really great because there were a couple of times where the official interviewer only wanted to speak to one author, and using the live stream, we were able to put out another message to our following with the author that was not being interviewed, so we were able to maximize that time. And the great thing about this is it allows you to turn all of these moments that are kind of throwaway and not worth making a $50,000 video into their own campaign that lives on. We also did this at Atlassian for our Pine Street office opening in San Francisco. We started with the mood boards talking about how we were thinking about the space and how we were using the physical office to connect teams to collaborate better. And every couple of weeks, we'd go in and we'd show things from the mood board and show the under construction process. And finally, at the end, we had the big reveal and we had people from all over the world tuning in. Now, one thing to caution on live streaming is that the average watch time is still quite low relative to the length of the video. Similar to what you would see on YouTube in your recorded videos, completion rates are difficult. So one way to get that average watch time up is to really interact with the commenters. And finally, WeWork has a weekly Instagram story, and I actually love this because you can see they're all so happy. So employer branding. This is another constituency that you need to build trust with as you try to grow and hire over the next decade. And so each week, they feature a couple of their employees in their story, talking about books, talking about events, and in the case of the fellow at the very end, he's just so thrilled to have finished his first week at WeWork. So think about putting an actual face on the brand to humanize it. Last, I want to talk about the Ask Me Anything and community engagement formats. So the AMA was pioneered on Reddit. It has a whole subreddit dedicated to it with almost 19 million subscribers. So in this case, the format is to say, "I am A," insert your role, insert the interesting thing about yourself, ask me anything. And it literally gives the commenters the ability to ask any question that they want, and you'll answer it within a certain period of time. Now, because this subreddit has so many subscribers and because the format is so popular, it's attracted some really big names. For example, Bill Gates has done 5 AMAs over the last couple of years, and he did one just a few weeks ago about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, Reddit is an interesting place. A number of marketers have tried and failed at Reddit, so I want to go over a couple of basics before you're like, 19 million subscribers, that's me, that's where I need to go. First is karma. And this is the currency of the community. Don't post without it. Seriously, don't post without it. Now, if you go in as a commenter and you just start talking about yourself, you just start asking questions, you just start insisting that everyone else give you value, you're going to be shamed. So the way to build karma is to contribute to the community. And people will upvote your comment, and they will also engage with you. You can see how many people are interested in the topic that you're discussing. Now, if you are unfortunate to stumble into this community with no karma, you will be on Hail Corporate. So Redditors do not take kindly to people being corporate hacks or corporate shills, and they will shame you for advertising or blatantly promoting a company. Now, there are paid advertisements happening in the community, and those are very specifically called out. But again, if you go in and you think you're just being smart by answering someone's question by linking to your product tour page, you'll end up on Hail Corporate, and that's embarrassing. You might also get banned. There's a number of subreddits that will ban you for behaving in this way. And finally, there's a subreddit for that, literally. It's such a vast place, you can find everything from skincare to marketing to flat earth documentaries. Yes, there are people who believe the earth is flat, and there is a documentary about these people. It's called Behind the Curve, you should watch it. So if you're not quite ready to jump in and engage because you're scared of ending up on Hail Corporate or you don't have karma, it's a great place for audience research. So if you find the relevant subreddits, you'll see massive discussions about all of these topics. So you can see what people are concerned about, you can see the latest trends, and you can tailor your content either on Reddit or off Reddit to match these concerns. Now, in some cases, people want to own the community or own the platform that they're interacting with. And so they choose to build their own community. And that's something that we chose to do at Atlassian. So we have an entire community that does a mix of product-focused conversation and also off-topic conversations. So when we launched our big Jira update, we actually had a number of AMAs with different product managers to interact and talk with our community about their concerns. We've also done AMAs with our work futurist, talking about the skills that you need to build over the next couple of years, talking about remote work, and talking about the Agile framework. Now, this isn't a place for us to just talk about products or just pitch what we're selling. It's also a place for us to connect with people in a human and authentic way. And it's a place for us to host discussions for people to connect with each other. So we have an entire section called Off Topic, and as you can see, people asked, Friday Fun, what's the biggest screw up at work? Some of these are really bad. People like deleted the entire company database, putting out tweets with typos, then they tried to delete it and they got called out. People sleeping through big meetings with VPs. If you ever want to feel like whatever you have done that day that's not so bad, come here, you'll feel better about yourself. We've also talked about things like your favorite beverages. We've done two truths and a lie on this forum. So it gives people an opportunity to see that it's not just about what you're selling, it's also about how you're selling, why you're selling, and what you can accomplish in your work life. So the concept of Xenia has changed a little bit. Our homes look a little different, our connections look a little different. And so as you go forward, how are you showing up in someone's home feed? How are you practicing hospitality when you invite them in to your digital house? Technology has the ability to help us connect, but we all need to be a little bit more human when we do. And of course, I talk about this and a number of other topics at Atlassian and on Twitter as well. So I'd love to open it up for questions. And I think Brandon has the mic.
Well, that was great. Before we get to questions, round of applause. That was fantastic. Gave me a new reason to go to Reddit that isn't embarrassing or terrifying.
Yeah. It still might be terrifying.
It probably will be. Questions? Is it just morning? Everybody still in like food coma? All right, I have one. When it comes to live streaming, yeah. You know, I have a background in radio. So I always think about the fact that like, you know, television has a longer duration of people listening. Radio generally has a much shorter.
Yep.
You know, people will switch the channel. You know, if we get up past 4 or 5 minutes of continual listening, we're like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Is that sort of the same thing? Do people come back in and out of live streaming? Is it really they just come in for the one and then leave? How does it work?
So what's really interesting is that in a lot of cases, the actual live viewership is really low, mostly because, you know, when it's happening, it's kind of an on-the-fly thing and it's not promoted beforehand. So you actually tend to get a lot of the views afterwards. Which is odd because basically the algorithm wants to see that it was done live first, but then people do come back. So for the most part, people do kind of jump in and out. They'll see what they think, or they'll wait until they can see it on demand, and then they can scrub to the interesting parts. So yeah, humans are still humans, no matter what kind of content you present them.
we're still gonna find what we think is interesting.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
Yeah. So it really depends. So I actually have a number of kind of articles and stuff on this topic, and it really goes back to the buyer journey, where you are in that process, and also your brand. So for example, one of the fashion houses did a combination of live stream, and I want to say it was Marc Jacobs a couple years ago for their spring line, and they did a mix of live stream and then also really curated behind the scenes, because for them, their brand is highly polished, it's high fashion, they can't run around having models like tripping backstage and half naked, right? That's not acceptable from a brand standpoint. So the place where they used live stream was set up during the show, and you could use the 360 feature on Facebook to pan around and see, oh, here's how the stage is set up, here's kind of the buzz and the hum of the audience, and then they mixed that with other like really edgy hard cuts of the behind the scenes, and then, you know, a 1-minute overview video with, you know, one model, one producer, and the designer. So it really just depends on what your brand is. The other issue is, if you're trying to get a very succinct, wordsmithed message out, a pre-recorded video using a teleprompter is probably going to be better for that. So if you only have a 15, 30, or 60-second spot, live stream is probably not the best because people tend to ramble. And then the other issue is the talent that you have access to. So if you have someone that's a good host, you can kind of let them do their own thing. But I've had situations where, you know, in person somebody's great and we're talking and it's like, all right, for your interview, here's what we're going to do. And you turn the camera on them and they freak out. And by freak out, I mean they just don't talk. Like, there's no life in the eyes. And so in that case, it's like, oh, I've worked with you before. We're going to need a few takes with you. You don't get to go on the live stream, right? So it really depends on the factors. I think, you know, while I advocate for live stream, it's another tool in the toolkit. It's not meant to replace all video assets or all video production styles.
Other questions? I'll do a follow-up. Is there a tool that you would suggest to help you with live streaming? I mean, there's a number of tools out there that can allow you to live stream in multiple different platforms either simultaneously or things like that. Is there a favorite tool that you have?
Not specifically, for the most part. We've done things pretty quick and dirty, like just on a phone or on a laptop. There is a camera called the Mevo camera that offers high res. It offers a bunch of different editing options. It allows you to stream in, particularly in situations where you do have an official conference setup. In a lot of cases, you can connect directly to the platform, to, you know, Facebook or something like that, through their setup. And so you can capture it not only in the official channel, but it also gives you, you know, clear audio, nice high-res video, and it'll stream directly to the platform. Yeah. So particularly in our case, we're a globally distributed company. And so when we were doing the big launch, we had people block out times on their calendar to go in and engage. We also set up a specific Slack room where we could funnel things in, and then we could tag someone. So I could literally say, hey, at Ashley, I need you to go look at this right now because it's heating up. It's got X number of retweets or likes, and it seems like it's right up your alley. So we do have a social care team that helps us with big things like that. They also do, you know, general maintenance, so that's blocked out. But in cases where we're trying to activate more people than just the social care team, it's usually for a bounded period of time, so it's not all time. And then we have the Slack room set up so that we can chat them. And then they also blocked out some time, both for the AMAs and also for the social media, depending on their time zone. So it's kind of nice. We have people in Sydney, so as we're logging off for the day, they're logging on. And so we could let them know if there were things that they needed to take a look at first thing in the morning.
All right. With that, another round of applause for Ashley. That was fantastic. Thank you so much.